Do you guys, I mean, do you plan to work on rigs again?
I don't think I could ever go back out there. I mean, that was my biggest fear of working offshore. And it happened. And I was given a second chance to get off. I'm not going back. Back.
Hello, everybody. This is Wes.
And this is the world famous Mark Bernay.
And we're here on a Thursday night like we always are.
Right. Recording a slurpcast in a restaurant where we slurp in our food. Please forgive us.
Right.
Well, we have to do this. It's one of the rules.
Well, we have to eat. So what the hell is a slurpcast?
The slurpcast is a podcast recorded in a restaurant while we're slurping our food.
Mark and I like to talk about technology. We have an interest in technology, and we get together to rehash the previous week's tech stories.
I'm trying to relate them back to old technology if we can find a relation to anything.
Yeah. We've been doing this a long time. We've been interested in gadgets and toys and things, so we feel that we have the right to be able to talk about how these new technologies really match these old technologies that have been around for a long time.
But nowadays, the gadgets have to be shiny, which means made by Apple.
Nice.
I'll publish a graph of why people buy Apple products. Just it's a pie chart. Mm-hmm. And like 9/10 of the reason is, my God, shiny.
Unibody.
Yeah. Unibody is like 10% or something.
Yeah.
But the oh my God, shiny is like 90%.
Nice. Yeah.
That's true, isn't it?
So, if this were a Star Trek episode, Mark Bernay would be Captain Kirk. The people that are joining our show seem to be the red shirt guys because they keep disappearing.
I know.
Captain's log, Stardate 2.5, something. Sci-tech, can't talk, I've taken too much LSD. I'm transmitting from the Earth's core. I'm trapped on this planet without my crew, without my ship. I've taken some sort of a psychedelic plant here. Couldn't be avoided. I'm now lying on my back. I'm trying to get a circumcision. My penis needs to be wrapped in pure alcohol. I need to go back to the ship. I can't breathe. My crew's underwater. I'm looking for some sort of lead of the planet to lead me out of this poison ground.
What happened to Bobarama or whatever his name was?
Well, first of all, thanks to Bob for being a part of the show last week. He was awesome. He was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he did want to do this show. So I think he just got caught up in something else. I know he was doing something that took a lot of time.
Okay.
But yeah, Bob, I think you were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely see that. And Kyle, too. I know Kyle's also pretty busy.
Yeah.
I suspect he kind of lost interest.
You see, Kyle was really interested in Project Natal and all that. That was actually
Project
released.
Natal?
Yeah. But that's actually, I don't think it's actually on the market yet, but Microsoft has formally announced it and announced the names of the products.
Was it called Kinect? No.
Yeah. Something.
Is it Kinect? No.
Something like that, but K-I-N.
Yeah. Okay.
K-I-N-E-C-T.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's a really stupid name. K-I-N-E-C-T is such a stupid name.
Microsoft is good for coming up with stupid names.
No, but there's a reason, I think. Remember when Microsoft came out with those two stupid phones called Kin?
Uh-huh.
The KIN1, KIN2.
All right.
This seems to be their new theme, the kin stuff.
Oh, it starts out with kin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That limits their choices, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. By the way, you know, the kin phone, the whole point of them is that they're supposed to be social networking.
Right.
Is the whole point of
it? Yeah, Facebook, whatnot, Twitter.
I just read that they do not have instant messaging in them right now. They'll add that someday.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Isn't that kind of ridiculous? Every phone has instant messaging.
And also with MSN Messenger. I mean, come on. They created a service.
But they're talking about coming out with that later, but not now.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think anyone pays attention to those kin phones. I doubt anyone else ever actually buys them, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Funny. That's actually really funny.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm pouring this into the rice. Then I can move. So we're trying to consolidate the food here because our table... is the size of a postage stamp.
Right. We're at the Korean Bulgogi house again in Concord, California.
Mark always says again because he's tired.
Because I want to go to new and different places every week.
And I'm not that creative.
The West keeps insisting on the same old boring places.
I'm not that creative.
No.
See, normally I would spend time on the net trying to look up a place for us to go and have dinner.
Right.
And then, you know, and then say, oh, we're going to try this place. And it'd be a complete random shot. And it's, you know, usually good or bad. And then we'd rate the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
But I, no, Mark, I've been very
we're here
busy.
Again.
I know. We just came back from Fry's. I bought a very industrial strength external battery for charging iPhones and iPads.
And I bought a dog toy.
So, should we jump into stories?
Sure.
My first story is, let's see here. Yeah, my first story is I actually didn't get a chance to look at the map. But this is a link to a page that shows where Americans are moving.
Okay.
Outside of the U.S. It tends to be a trend right now of Americans moving outside of the U.S. into other countries. And I think part of that is they're fed up with what's going on in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So this link that I'll show you shows where more than 10 million Americans have moved in 2008.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting. What's that?
But mainly Europe or what?
Actually, didn't look at the map.
Well,
so the other go ahead.
Yeah. So my item, I guess, is
because
they were talking about Microsoft gets official with announcing the Kinect, and what is it again? Let's just summarize what we talked about before.
The Kin phone?
No, the Kinect.
Oh, the Kinect. So this goes back to what Kyle had talked about in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
The really advanced monitoring system that Microsoft was working on for the Xbox that was supposed to figure out where you were located in the physical space so that as you move your body in front of this this digital camera, it can then relate those movements into the game that you're playing so that you're actually controlling the character as if you are that particular person. This thing was called
Project... So it's like a Wii controller but by video?
Yeah, it's like a Wii controller but by webcam. Where it's actually looking at you and taking your movements and applying those to the game.
Right.
So it was this virtual reality. It was basically very close to virtual reality. It was called the Project Natal, and it has now been officially announced by Microsoft, and it's called
Go to slurpcast.com, where we have a log entry behind each of these recordings that gives URLs and other details about what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So go there and you'll see a story about Microsoft releasing this and the details of it.
So because my stories are kind of out of order.
Okay.
The Apple CDMA iPhone 4 rumor.
Right.
Gains new wings. The idea simply behind this article is that this rumor has not died down at all.
Right.
And that they keep talking about how a CDMA iPhone is being created in some Taiwanese labor shop. And that they'll begin shipping this CDMA version, although it's being hush-hush right now, in Q4 of 2010, just in time for the holiday shopping season.
Yeah. I saw a rumor. First of all, have we talked about here my prediction that AT&T really did lose exclusivity? I base that on two fundamental things. Number one, that they dared to defy Apple and suddenly change their data rates.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Apple had the whole big deal for the iPad is the most clear thing.
Mm-hmm.
Only 2 months ago, Apple had this deal with AT&T for unlimited data for the iPad for $30 a month.
Yep.
No contract. You can buy it 1 month, not buy another month. And all of a sudden, 2 months later, AT&T changes that.
Not even 2 months.
Yeah. I don't think AT&T would dare do that if they really had this deal with Apple.
Right.
And then also, for the iPhone 4, can you remind me to tell you a story of me ordering? I did manage to pre-order an iPhone 4.
Right.
Anyway, with the iPhone 4, AT&T is giving people the cheap price for people who have not had AT&T service for 2 years and don't really deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And why would they possibly do that? Why would AT&T give people a gift like that?
Okay.
Because I don't deserve it till like July or something, but I'm able to get it now at the cheap price. But you have to sign a 2-year contract.
Right. Because...
Now, normally, why would AT&T bother to get iPhone users to sign a 2-year contract? Where else are they going to go?
Right.
So the fact they're so desperate to get you to sign a two-year contract right now, along with the fact they're defying Apple by changing their data rates, makes me think they did lose exclusivity. So the question is where it's going to next.
Yeah. Never mind the fact, though, that there's limited storage on this particular iPhone 4,
right.
32 gigs being the max so far, and the fact that almost everything about this means increased bandwidth usage.
Yeah.
So the fact that they capped this means that they're preparing for things like, you know, the 720p HD recording.
Yeah, that's possible.
Video recording that you can do on this phone.
Right.
If you're going to be filming at that level and you want to send a movie to somebody else, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a lot of bandwidth.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm guessing the it really is going to go somewhere else. But
and the AT&T is just
not necessarily Verizon. I saw a rumor that printed itself as very, very factual, although it didn't have any source, that they were going to go to T-Mobile, which kind of makes sense because then they don't have to come out with a CDMA version. The iPhone will already work on T-Mobile right now, except it doesn't have the right frequencies for 3G on T-Mobile.
See,
but that's easy to fix because the hardware can do it. It's just a matter of a software thing, what frequencies it should put out.
I suspect, though, that Apple knew this a long time ago and has been inside the R&D buildings. They already have a CDMA version somewhere floating around. This is not something that they didn't plan for. I mean, even if they're never going to go to a CDMA version, you know some engineers said, hey, just in case, let's figure out what it's going to take to actually like develop a CDMA version. So it probably exists, and they could come out with it in no time if they had to.
But that requires a whole new phone to be made in a factory, though.
True, but I'm just saying
the existing one with just simply a firmware change could probably do the T-Mobile frequencies.
I bet with the introduction of the iPhone 4, they've considered that and actually been able to modularize that particular cell.
The chipset maybe it's such that
they can swap it out internally so they don't have to use the same parts.
Or maybe just maybe they're using a chipset that can do CDMA just with different firmware.
Might also explain the positioning of the antenna. I don't know. That has nothing to do with it, but
anyway, it's just all rumors really. But I already pre-ordered. I'm going to give in to AT&T for another 2 years. What choice do I have?
So you want to talk about your story with the pre-order? I know that, like, last night. When did you do the order?
I thought it was going to be a zoo. I figured I was going to sit there all day long pounding on retry on the browser all day long, refresh to try to get through. But then, of the morning of the pre-ordering, which was Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it was Tuesday. That's right, it was Tuesday
I got up
morning.
Like 3 in the morning to go to the bathroom. I figured, why would I go back to bed at 3 in the morning rather than order my iPhone? Because I might actually have a chance to do it now.
Okay.
Right. So I spent a half an hour on AT&T's website and on Apple's website. I actually got very close to an Apple's website. The main hitch is that Apple's website would say, we're checking with AT&T to see your eligibility for an upgrade. And usually it would never come back from that. But actually once got to come back from that, and the order got very close to the point I just had to hit like one more button to confirm it, but then it died. So I started trying on AT&T's website, and it took several tries, but I finally got an order through on AT&T's website.
Awesome. Very cool.
Although I would trust Apple more to deliver it on the first day. Anyway. But since I'm one of the really early ones on AT&T's website, maybe I'll actually get it the first day. I don't care that much. I just want the very first version of it. Regardless of what day I get it.
Yeah.
Because the real original versions tend to be more have jailbreak advantages later.
So a lot of people were saying to me, why would you want to go ahead and order the iPhone 4 right out the gate? Why don't you want to wait until they fix all the bugs? And the answer is, this is the fourth generation.
Apple doesn't make products with bugs.
Well, yeah, they do. Sure they do. The iPads had issues, but they've managed to suppress those. You're good. With the first generation of the iPhone 4, it's got to be good. And if there's any hardware issues, they're going to take care of you if you bring that to the attention of the Genius Bar guys.
No, except that I'm going to jailbreak. And that's available, so I won't be able to really go to the Genius Bar.
Well, you can go there.
Yeah, they won't fix it. They won't replace it or anything.
And they might put some kind of a label on your account if you admit that.
I know.
You know.
So jailbreak people have jailbreaks right now for the beta tests of 4.
Okay.
So if nothing changes too much, then they might be able to jailbreak the real 4 quickly on the iPhone 4. Yeah. Actually, that's true. The fact they have a jailbreak for the beta test of iOS 4 on an iPhone 3GS doesn't prove anything about the 4, because the 4 would have different bootloader sequence,
right,
different code there. That's where they tend to break into it. So,
unless they somehow were a part of the beta test, or...
Yeah. Or they may have found a flaw in the web browser or something like that. Mm. But it may not depend on the boot sequence, I suppose.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting. A little bit of rumbling as things die down regarding the stolen iPhone,
right,
4.
Yeah.
That'll totally disappear,
right,
as these things start shipping. But I read some article that was kind of controversial about how big corporations have influence over the cops.
Sure.
And that basically your freedoms are, you know, your freedoms to be treated equally are going, you know, being, right, washed away here by corporations like BP, mm-hmm, and, you know, Apple, because, right, they're able to control the you know, the, what's right and wrong.
Right.
And the police, the government, mm-hmm, to some extent.
Yeah, because if you lost an iPhone, if you lost a prototype of your product, police aren't going to help you that much.
Right. You lose your kids, you go to the police tell you to wait 2 weeks.
Huh.
Right? But an iPhone gets lost.
So the kid probably ran away.
You know? And Steve says, you know what? Go ransack that guy's house. Although Steve claims he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the incentive was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of bothers me.
Right.
What a world we live in.
But you'll still buy every Apple product anyway, right?
Well, also they have like slave labor going on in, right, you know, Korea and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
In a world where iPhones dominate,
they're only the Foxconn.
Slave labor. What?
No, the Foxconn factory.
I thought you said something else.
No, the people committing suicide, the Apple,
suicide?
The workers working on,
right,
iPhones committing suicide,
right,
are just the same number, same percentage as the average population in that area of China. So that's why,
what,
something to keep in mind about all the suicide statistics at the Foxconn factory is that Foxconn factory has 400,000 employees,
mm-hmm,
and in any group of 400,000 people, you might have a suicide here and there anyway.
Really?
So that's why it's hard to evaluate those.
So you're saying that the suicides are not necessarily...
Yeah.
They're not associated with Apple.
But they're not necessarily associated with the fact they get paid $100 a month for all their labor,
mm-hmm,
for 12 hours a day or whatever.
Yeah. Well, we might lose track of the fact that $100 a day...
A month. Yeah.
Goes a lot farther there than it would here.
Right. And they have free room and board. And little dormitories with...
Okay.
2 inches of space per person in the dormitory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
what are we complaining about?
Postage stamp.
Hmm?
Yeah, they get beds the size of a postage stamp. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So, regarding the BP statement that I made, I'm going to segue into another article. Yeah. What the hell? What's going on? What does Kevin Costner have that's so special? Because apparently...
He didn't invent it. He just bought... For some reason in the past, he invested in a company.
Okay. That separates oil
from water.
That
makes centrifuges that can separate oil from water.
So apparently BP bought 32 of these things from Kevin Costner.
But I bet they're useless. I bet they're so tiny compared to the spill that they're meaningless, I bet. I haven't actually looked. But What I want to know about BP is, why are they voluntarily agreeing to pay $20 billion in compensation to victims,
mm-hmm,
when there's a law that arguably could limit them to only $15 million or $25 million or something?
All right.
They have obligations to their shareholders not to suddenly give away $20 billion just because they have bad publicity when they could have won $75 million.
Well, so is this a case where if they don't do something that seems justified,
right,
then they're gonna go under?
Well, because there's some law that protects offshore drillers. Remember, they're doing us a favor by drilling offshore and making lots of oil for us to waste on our primary cars around and stuff.
Okay.
So there's some law that, as an incentive for them to drill offshore, limits their liability to only $75 million, but I don't know what circumstance that is or anything.
Huh.
But if they could argue in court that they should only pay $75 million because of that law, why are they voluntarily giving away $20 billion? Because they're supposed to make a profit
because
for their shareholders.
Because they're killing animals and they're doing way more damage.
Yeah, but they're a big corporation. Why would they care? They have an obligation to shareholders to not spend $20 billion.
I understand, but if they didn't do something that was justified, do you think that the public would... I mean, something has to break.
What can the public do about it?
Basically nothing, which is why I hesitated, right?
See, boycotting BP stations in the United States doesn't mean anything.
Right.
because they're not owned by BP. They're just owned by families.
Right, and they're mainly drilling and getting coming up with oil that other companies are using anyway that they're selling.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because the average gas station, no matter what brand name on it, sells gas that comes from the refinery near them, no matter what brand the refinery is.
Right.
So BP stations are not owned by BP, and they're not selling gas that necessarily comes from BP refineries. Right. So you're not really hurting BP by boycotting those stations. And what else can you do?
I just think that there's too many people, even high up, that think they should be slapped in the face for the mistake, but just the whole like rigmarole that they've been going through with this recovery process.
Right.
It's just been ridiculous.
Yeah. How come religious people aren't claiming that we broke through to hell and this is the devil squirting out or something?
Because that would mean that we've been living off of the devil's blood or whatever it is.
No, because you're getting down that deep. This particular oil is from the devil. That's why it's having these problems.
But we've been pulling it up even before the accident. We were getting the devil's blood.
That's true. But see what happens when you do that? So I should start a religion about that, I think.
That's cool. You could be like the Reverend Sun Young Moon. Just claim you can walk on water and you're all good.
Right.
Uh-huh. You don't ever have to do it.
Right.
What?
Now you see the article about some church in Florida or something, I forget where it is, had a really giant Jesus statue made out of flammable materials. It kind of looks like concrete, but it's not. It's really made out of foam or something.
All right.
And it's Jesus coming out of a lake. It doesn't make any sense. Jesus is supposed to walk on water. So if you have a giant statue of Jesus on a lake, it should be above the water with his feet touching the water, I would think.
All right.
But anyway, this shows like a Jesus looking like an amphibian or something. Half in the water and half out, legs covered by the water, like he's crawling,
awesome.
Like he's crawling out of the water.
All right.
So it doesn't really make any sense, anyway. But in any event, that statue got hit by lightning and totally exploded and burned up.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
So there is a god up there.
Yeah.
Well, so that's a religious fail, is what that is.
Right.
That's on YouTube.
Because that statue doesn't belong, doesn't deserve.
Right.
Looking like that. Yeah.
That's awesome. So somebody is up there watching down.
I guess. Or maybe he's Jewish, just pissed about the Jesus thing anyway.
It's a jihad.
Right.
Yeah. See, what we don't know is that all these religions, they fit together. It's just that nobody's really taking the time to actually figure out how the religious...
They actually don't fit together at all. It's a bunch of bullshit. That proves that religions are all false because they contradict each other completely.
I was waiting for you to get on there. See, Mark has a very firm belief, and I kind of agree, that religion is just in place to control people.
Right.
So...
Yeah, so what did you buy at Fry's West? You talked about you bought that
briefly,
didn't battery.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's like a segue to that. And how much did you pay for that?
$900.
Yeah, you know what? I can definitely segue to that.
So I bought a recharger, a battery that you plug in and it juices up, and then you can use that whenever you're on the go to charge your iPhone. This one I bought was kind of industrial. It's made by Energizer. Yeah. You know, you can repeatedly charge it up.
Mm-hmm.
It only does, unfortunately, 500 charges, according to what I read on the...
I think that's typical.
Mark's saying that's typical. But anyway, so I bought something that's heavy duty so that I could almost guarantee that I would have a charge that...
But it's not just for iPhones. You can charge any kind of device.
This one is, you can do netbooks, you can do cell phones,
right.
You can do cameras.
Yeah, probably
and I've
for
got
days.
Connectors for like all kinds of devices.
Yeah, probably for days, yeah.
Yeah. So what's your segue?
The segue is that a company, there's all this talk about fuel cells, where instead of carrying batteries, you'll carry something kind of like a cigarette lighter that burns fuel and puts out electricity.
Okay.
So you just fill it up with fuel instead of having to plug it into a charger. Well, the first one is actually coming out commercially. Coming out with a thing called the Horizon Mini Pack.
All right.
Personal fuel charger for $100. And if it actually works, it'll probably be much beefier than your battery.
Nice. All right.
That's about the same size. It's kind of the same size as your battery, see? Anyway, look at slurpcast.com. I'll have an item about that.
So how does that work? Is it like a liquid or...?
Yeah, you fill it with a liquid.
And there's a chemical reaction that gives it a lot of power.
Yeah, and each charge is 1,000... Oh, it's like 1,000 AA batteries. Hmm. So it's probably more powerful than what you bought of it. Anyway, supposedly it's actually available for sale, but I'm not totally positive about that.
Now, is there a danger with these things?
If you spill the liquid, maybe. Just like a cigarette lighter, but, not really.
So you have to buy the liquid separate, or is it just water?
Or cartridges you plug in.
Oh, I see.
like butane cigarette lighters.
And then they dwindle down and you have to actually replace them.
Yeah.
But you can drop it. It's not going to, you know, explode.
Probably.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's something that the scientists and engineers have already gone over.
Sure.
So they did their due diligence in drop testing.
I would hope, yeah.
So, I can't segue to this, but, you know, I'm interested in music. I did some DJing. I've done a lot of audio work. I have CDs and stuff that I've made.
Okay.
Well, there's a new thing that's out, and I know a few people have already started talking about this, but somebody invented a CD on one side and a vinyl 45 on the other.
But, oh, it's a 45 vinyl, mm-hmm. I see. So it's the size of a CD then?
Yeah, it's about the same size of a CD.
I see. Okay.
And in this particular example, the other side is this one song this DJ is promoting is right. Really, really short, so it doesn't take that much.
Okay.
But you can literally put it down on a analog turntable and play it.
Huh.
Now, I'm not sure what the process is for pressing your own music on these, but they are an option here.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn more about this by going to Slurpcast. I have a link to the actual article.
Yes, I saw that same article, but I didn't understand it really well.
Okay. Yeah. And who has analog turntables to be able to play this thing back anyway?
Only old farts like me.
No, I used to have them. I used to have a Technique 1200. In fact, there is still a resurgence in interest of old phonographs. DJs are playing. You're not a true DJ unless you can mix and scratch with 1200s.
Right.
So
1200s?
No, 1200s. Just two.
Okay.
Two or three, maybe. If you can get three going, you
can't just wiggle your iPad screen and send?
Yeah, you can use that, what is it, Baby Dex application?
Yeah, the goddamn government, Congress, there's a bill introduced in Congress to give the goddamn government the power to shut down, the president could shut down the internet.
What?
All ISPs would have to agree that the president announces that they'll shut down. And of course, that would just be used to avoid embarrassments to the government, not in real emergencies, I bet.
Huh.
So everyone's against it.
Okay. I think that would be wrong because you're giving ultimate power to the goddamn government.
And I'm saying they'll use it just to suppress information, probably right. About embarrassing to them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So I'm going to post a... Mark was talking about this earlier. I'm going to post an article that leads to a teardown of the Mac Mini unibody.
The new Mac Mini.
The new Mac Mini.
Right.
So you can see kind of like what the guts look like and how easy it is to get at them. So they've actually made it a lot more easy to update memory and do certain things, unlike the old Mac Minis where you had to actually like kind of hack it and go in and add more rubber cement to the stick to the rubber foot so that you could put that big rubber base back on securely after you did the update.
Weird. Was the next cube that you got something flipped around backwards and forwards and then you changed the memory unit or something? Steve Jobs had
I know Apple had Apple had the cube.
Oh, was the Apple cube?
Yeah.
That's right. Was that the one that the memory you just
maybe.
Put memory in but a very weird way?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Apple's done some really weird weird hardware type things where it was very difficult to get access to certain things.
Right.
Inside. But anyway, this is kinda cool, this breakdown. Take a look at the app. And then similar but not related, Nintendo is going to be coming out with something called the Nintendo 3DS.
Okay.
This almost seems like an April Fool's joke. I'm not sure if this is going to be...
But it's not April Fool's.
No, it's not an April Fool's. Nintendo officially rolled out and showed off the 3DS at E3 2010, and it's looking pretty good. Basically, just check this link.
What is it?
It's the Nintendo 3DS. It looks like a... I'm not sure if that means that it's going to have 3D capability, where you're going to have to wear glasses to be able to see stereo, but that's the new 3DS.
Okay. So it's a little handheld game system?
Yeah, this is the Nintendo handheld.
Okay. Why wouldn't you just get an iPad or an iPhone or something?
Because it can't do 3D.
Oh, that's true.
And we're on the... You know, we talked last week
if
about...
If it can't do 3D, then we don't need 3D.
Hmm.
Steve didn't tell us...
We never did. We never needed
Steve didn't tell us we need 3D yet,
We don't, but don't tell anybody else that.
Yeah.
So two shows ago, we talked about the Google TV. Now it looks like we're starting to see some devices come to market that are actually going to support the Google 3D, which is the Android OS.
Okay.
The idea being that your computer will hook directly into...
What's a set-top box?
Yeah.
Do you know the history of the set-top box?
No.
I saw something that pointed it out. There were set-top boxes 40 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. UHF converters.
Hmm.
Remember that? Before TVs, before the goddamn government passed a law that required all TVs to have UHF built in, TVs used to be channels 2 to 13 only.
Uh-huh.
And when you, if there's UHF channels you want to get in your neighborhood, you had to buy a set-top box that connected between your antenna and the TV's antenna that would down-convert to UHF to like channel 3 or something.
Wow.
Yeah. And they kind of looked kind of like a modern set-top box, about that size, but just a 14 through 83 dial.
So is it like a spectrum? Is the spectrum wider, and then when you go to UHF, it's like thinner or something? Or
no, it's just more. It is a total, it's a total jump in frequency band. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the regular channels are one frequency, are two different bands. There's actually a gap between channels 6 and 7. There's a big gap, but they're not that far away from each other. And UHF's a radically different band, where it can be narrower,
Okay, interesting. Well, this one device that's coming out is made by Logitech. It's been called the Logitech Review. If you're interested, listen two shows ago at our review on kind of what we talked about on the Google TV idea.
Okay. So I can kind of segue to something because it looks like TV, but...
Talk about the Xbox 360, the new revamp. So, yeah, it leaked out early, but basically Xbox 360 is going to have a revamped, slimmer model.
Okay. And that's with the Kinect controllers, or that's totally independent?
That's going to be independent, I believe. Yeah. But it's going to come. It's going to be basically like the higher-end model of the Xbox, and I think it's going to be sold cheaper. It's going to have the hard drive built in, the 250-gig hard drive.
That's so small.
I know, for desktop machines and even laptops. Hardware spec-wise, I'm not sure it's going to be that much different from the Xbox 360, although it will no longer have the red ring of death.
No.
You remember how...
How would you use it without the red ring? How would you possibly use it?
It's Microsoft's way of saying this is never going to fail, but we know that's not true. So they took out the red LED that was in the original Xbox 360.
And that would 360? Light up when it failed or something?
Oh, yeah, you know the ring of death?
I never had an Xbox.
Okay, well, so originally the first batches of Xboxes would all fail at some time, and they would fail with this red ring, and you couldn't get it out. The only way to fix it is to send it back. So they took out the LED in this one.
Well, that's like... You can fix blue screens of death in Windows very easily.
Yeah.
Because you can change them to different colors, so you get a red screen of death instead.
Huh. You know, wasn't there a movie about rings? The Ring of something?
Well...
It was made of, like... It was made
for the Lord of the Rings, and then there's the movie about the ring, about the girl who fell down the wall.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I just gave away the ending of The Ring. Hopefully you... I just gave away something about the Ring movie. Anyway.
Look, it's Alice in Wonderland. She fell down a hole.
Right. But she was on crack and stuff, so it was okay.
Oh, you mean like...
She was on acid. Is what it really
like
was.
James T. Kirk?
Yeah, he was on acid.
Captain's log. Stardate 2-point-something. Fucking I've taken too much LSD. I've got to get off this planet. My crew, my ship, circling the planet's surface. Too lackadaisical, too stoned to even respond. I need some sort of a remedy. I need to contact the ship service. Go 2 times the poison line to take the time. I've never taken so much LSD in my life.
See, I'm sprinkling all these little James T. Kirk on acid.
Why is that, Wes? Well, the audience will know because you're going to stick things in there,
Right.
Okay. So can I segue now to something that has to do with TV but really doesn't?
Okay.
You know the original Macs, those little portable black and white with little black and white screens and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out some of the models of those had a screen. I just got an email.
Okay.
So some of the original models of those had a screen about the same size.
How'd you get an email?
Because I'm using my phone as for Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Yeah, I was surprised by that for a second myself. It's psychic email.
It's you really bought a 3G and you didn't know it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Where did I have the... Yeah, something happened weird like that last night. I think what happened... Obviously, this couldn't have happened, but I plugged my iPhone into iTunes, and then iTunes came up with a message saying, your phone could not be backed up, error code, so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized later that the USB port at the computer end wasn't plugged in. So iPhones could not actually have seen my iPhone at all. But I'd been playing recently with a Wi-Fi, a jailbreak Wi-Fi thing for backing up iPhones. So I think maybe that message just kind of came in because of that.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it was very strange.
And then after you had your hot cocoa and you started to head for bed, there was a knock at the door.
Yeah.
And you opened it up and it was Steve.
Yeah, okay. That's right. And he said, apparently we left our psychic controller here. Did you find it by any chance?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're experimenting on mind control.
Yeah.
We understand Microsoft is working on this virtual reality thing that will basically like...
Right, somehow it found its way to your house. We had a little box sitting on the street. Your dog, I think, may have grabbed it and run away with it, which is true. She certainly would. But
yeah.
So anyway, some of those old Macs had different sizes of screens in them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the models had a screen about the same size as an iPad. So someone figured that out.
Uh-huh.
And they took all the guts out of an old Mac case,
mm-hmm.
and put a slot on the side where they could slide their iPad in and out. So it just becomes an iPad case.
Wow, that's pretty
cute,
cool.
Isn't it cute?
Wait, what is that? Is that a classic?
Yeah, something like that. I have one of those. I may have that model in my basement.
Yeah, so, I think that is a classic.
Yeah, is that the model I have in my basement?
Yeah, it's a Mac classic.
Is that the model I have in my basement, do you think?
You could probably do this with an SE.
Yeah.
It does kind of underlap the screen, so the actual, you can't see.
But did they have different sizes of screens, or were they all the same?
Blah, 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 blah. Maybe it is specific. Maybe the classic does fit it. Although, like I was saying, the edge of the iPad definitely goes under the outside of the screen, so it does look like it's just simply the Mac classic screen.
Yeah, but it looks like it came that way, I know.
Huh.
Anyway, so I'll post an article of that. It looks like it's pretty easy to make your own if you want to.
But don't forget that if you do that, you're never going to be able to convert it to use it. I mean, I guess you can slide it out. Okay.
Yeah, slide it out. And then I have another TV item, actually.
Okay.
Okay. You know how the iPhone 4 will have a video editing built into it?
Yeah, with 32 gigs of storage only.
Yeah, I know. But the current iPhone, you can edit video by just trimming something off the front and back.
Mm-hmm.
But the new one, you'll be able to cut out pieces of a video and splice them together and do a little bit fancier editing on the device itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so YouTube, just probably just by coincidence, came out with a video editor for YouTube where you can upload a video and then edit it a little bit before you make it available to the public.
All right.
So I'm not sure if that's available now or not, but...
So did you download the App Store application?
Which one?
The new one. Did you know that Apple has an application?
There's about 1,000... Yes. I do. Yeah, that's right. That one, no. Yeah, there's about 1,000 new ones every day. So,
no.
But yeah, the Apple... Yeah,
The Apple
one.
The new application that is the Apple App Store.
No, I did not, no.
It's supposedly not even an app store. It's not an app store. It's the Apple store in an application.
Yeah, for ordering hardware, not for...
Right, for all Apple products, not just iPhone.
Supposedly people ordering the iPhone 4 got through using that.
Well, I heard the opposite. I heard that the same problems that existed for people using the web were seeing similar errors using the apps,
the application.
It's probably
just the front end for the web, I would assume.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is... what's the name of this thing? Yeah, here's an article exactly. We'll post this on the show notes.
Okay.
It's one of those things that makes you wonder why it hadn't been done already. Apple just unleashed an Apple Store application for its iDevices designed to pretty much give you the online Apple Store experience, but perhaps without the crazy on-again, off-again antics of this morning.
Right.
So that's when the iPhone 4 went on sale, and people were using that, and it was on and off and on and off.
But somehow they claim they sold 600,000 of them between them and AT&T's website, even with all those problems.
Yeah, I saw that later on in the day.
Yeah.
No, it is definitely a hot commodity.
There's a Yogi Berraism about similar to that. He said once about some restaurant, no one goes there anymore, it's too crowded.
My other sort of looking back at the past retro type technology is the idea behind the Philips cassette. Okay. I got this article from the retro thing. Early cassettes were pink. So the article talks about how the first cassettes were really not meant to put high fidelity music on the media. But that eventually they managed to create a concoction that allowed good fidelity music to be played on these things. But what I didn't know is that cases for Philips cassette tapes were sort of an afterthought. So the first publicly commercially sold albums were distributed with these cardboard latch cases or something you like slid the cassette tape into.
But the cassette was still plastic itself.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, here's an example
just
of what it looks like.
Just a cardboard box.
Yeah, this is a really early commercial tape.
No, that makes sense.
And it's pink. So maybe that was like just... I think that was something that the artist could choose, but maybe not. I mean, maybe that was like a universal plastic.
No.
I don't either.
No, plastics were colored back then.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find a time frame for when this was. Yeah, 1974.
Yeah. When I was recording my phone trips tapes in around 1970, I had used a Craig 212 reel-to-reel recorder, used 3-inch reels of tape. And I was aware of cassette, that cassette recorders were out at that point and portable. And Chris Burnet even, I knew him back then, Chris Burnet tried to get me to use a cassette recorder, and I said, no, look how thin the tape is. It couldn't possibly sound good at all.
Is that Wolf Chris or?
No,
Chris
Burnet. Wolf Chris is hardly a Burnet.
I didn't know.
Has he
you call him Wolf
test?
Chris?
Has he passed? Has
I don't
used
know.
To have wolves?
You say gabut to him.
Yeah, well, yeah. I say that to everybody.
I'm confused. I don't know the rules.
I know.
You have
do
to
I,
give
do
me
I say niner or two?
Yeah, I bet you probably do.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
All right. Because
so anyway,
I'm
Chris
not a
Burnet.
But go ahead.
He tried to get me to get a cassette portable recorder because they were smaller.
All right.
I refused because look how thin the cassette is. It couldn't possibly sound as good as my fine reel-to-reel machine.
Mm-hmm.
Although they probably were actually better back then. Cassette recorder may well have been better at that point.
Well, you're right. The tape stock has a lot to do with the fidelity or a lot to do with the quality. And the next is how is the material that they use on the tape, right? The magnetic, how magnetic it can...
Yeah, 3-inch tapes were just really cheap. So...
I got a bunch of Mac Mini articles.
Okay. But just, it's really the same idea, right? I mean, see, a unibody for a notebook makes a lot of sense because it makes it stronger for carrying it around and lighter. But a Mac Mini, who cares how strong it is or how light it is? You care about size, maybe, and price.
Well, it is. It's thinner and smaller than the than the earlier Mac Minis, and it will. It's.
But
it's,
who really cares at that level? Because you're not carrying it with you, so who
well,
really
what, what's more important is something that they just satisfied, which is access to the internal guts, so you can replace the drives as well, as well as add more memory.
Yeah.
And by the way, the higher-end model can comes with two drives, not just one. There's enough storage space in there
hard
for two hard drives.
Oh, really?
Two hard drives, yeah.
Okay.
So the low-end model comes with...
What am I thinking of? Can it do this stuff... What am I thinking of? The backup RAID?
Oh, yeah.
Can it do RAID?
I don't know.
Things?
Actually, I bet it can. I don't know if it can. Yeah. But the lower-end model comes with the CD-ROM drive, the burner and stuff.
Right.
But you can. But the higher-end doesn't. So you kind of like replace the CD-ROM drive with another hard drive, which is what I would probably do. So.
Yeah.
Because you always get a USB.
How many USB CD-ROM ports does it have?
It's got a lot. It's got like six.
Because I've got I have a USB.
Five or six.
I have an external USB drive, but it has the one drive needs two USB plugs.
For
one
power.
For power and one for data, yeah.
Right.
Connect to Scotty. Scotty, I need to see if you can give me more power. I need 20% two times.
What the hell are you talking about, Captain? Your name ain't got sense. Have you taken more LSD, have you?
I'm trying to take as much poison as I can to get this lackadaisical group pointed in the right direction.
Listen, I'm pissed off my fucking mind, Captain. I feel like I got wee ones down here.
God, Scotty, I'm not sure I know what you mean, wee ones.
I'm not sure either, Captain. I'm pissed off my mind like I told you.
My people... It's like a penis crew. I can't go underground. I have to breathe two times. I feel like 2,000 people. I'm tripping out. I need help. I need some kind of sick bay. Send Uhura down here.
So I'm down to just my iPhone apps. Do you have anything else important before I get to that?
Let's see. MSI, the company that manufactures netbooks, they're replacing their BIOS with something called UEFI firmware interface.
All BIOS is going away, apparently.
Yeah, so you probably know how to talk about this more than I do, but
no,
the idea
the idea
is that there's a BIOS replacement that's going to allow, like, instant-on OS's.
Okay.
So it's sort of like, my understanding is it's sort of like going into suspend mode,
right,
where instead of powering everything down, it does allow some kind of trickle power to exist where it saves the state of your OS,
okay,
in the firmware so that when,
oh,
you come,
cool,
back to it later on, you can have this instant on experience where you turn on your machine and boom, there's your OS, there's where you were left,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
left off.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how that's going to work, but... But check out the article that we have here on slurpcast.com to get more of what this means. And
so
it'll be across the board.
Are starting to come out that do that now, you said?
Yeah, MSI is going to be one of the first.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Where is the industry standard? It's not their own thing. It's,
yes,
industry standard.
And that's one of those things that this BIOS,
right,
thing is going to be something that,
right,
that both Macs, PCs, pretty much all,
okay,
machines that need the BIOS.
Okay.
Unlike the old dependable BIOS, however, UEFI comes with a flashy mouse-driven interface, and,
ooh,
instead of being written in assembly, it's written in C,
ooh,
which means that it needs more resources,
right,
although it's also a lot more flexible. MSI is going to introduce the spec on Sandy Bridge motherboards towards the end of this year.
Okay.
Let's see here. Got this from Engadget, this article.
Okay.
Seagate has stated that UEFI is an essential requirement for PCs with boot drives larger than 2 terabytes.
Huh.
Hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
That's always been a limitation of hard drive size, what the BIOS was at the moment.
But what would, yeah, Captain Kirk say?
Penis, LSD, I'm underground, I can't breathe water, I can't be like a rat on TV, I gotta go 2 times, I have to go home, please. Redeem me, I need to leave this... Cat call, you call a ship. Need to go to the planet surface and be naked. Permanently.
So can I talk about my craps now?
Okay, one more.
Sure.
Do I get to drop the Disco Project article?
What is it?
Nobody cares.
What is it?
Disco is a distributed computing framework based on the map reduce paradigm.
Yeah.
Disco is an open source developed by Nokia Research Center.
But map reduce is just a database for
to solve real problems in handling massive amounts of data.
Yeah.
But that doesn't tell me anything.
Did Google invent MapReduce, or is that an industry, mm-hmm, standard? You know, Google uses it internally.
So this is going to be done by... This is an open source project by Nokia.
Yeah, okay.
I'll keep the article, so go take a look at what this,
okay,
is. And then, there's no easy way to segue. As the public knows, I run Ubuntu Linux boxes. I got a bunch of,
right,
Linux-type systems running,
okay,
various different things, and I do code development stuff in Linux.
Right.
So this article is very interesting as the writer outlines how you can handle core Linux files.
Okay.
It's basically entitled Controlling Core Files in Linux. So take
Who
a look
cares?
At, take a look at this link. I'm not going to go into detail. Just
Steve doesn't recommend Linux. Why would I care about
Steve
it?
Is using Linux.
No, it'd be free BSD.
Okay, but it's still
BSD,
Unix, which is what Linux comes from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm done.
I'm going to talk about...
Oh, wait, wait.
What?
I have one more thing to do.
I can segue from that. Yeah, go ahead and do that, because I can definitely segue from that.
So,
okay.
I once found on YouTube, in its very early days,
sure,
Pastor Gas.
Right.
I just want to revisit that for a minute, and I want everybody,
sure,
to go click on this link called,
sure,
The Farting Preacher 1.
Right.
That's it.
Part of the link, or is it part 1 and part 2?
No, just go look at Farting Preacher,
okay,
1.
And then, I'm going to talk about reasons why you should buy the iPhone platform as opposed to BlackBerry or Android or anything else.
You're supposed to segue, Mark, into...
I can't do that.
Okay.
Because of all the fine applications. Some of these I'm getting from a blog called krapps.com,
mm-hmm,
and some of them I found myself. See, the author of the Craps blog thinks it stands for crappy applications.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he understands. I think it stands for critical applications. Critically important about why you should buy this platform rather than any other platform.
Okay.
And since half of the craps are about farts, I found a fart thing in the real world. You can buy these discrete odor neutralizer pads that you put in your underwear in front of your butt, behind your butt, so that if you fart, these will neutralize the odor.
What?
Yeah, it's true. I'll post the link where you can buy them.
What, well, I guess it's not crazy.
Do you like farting and making everyone have to smell it? Don't you care about the
public? I usually do it
public?
In the privacy of my own home.
Okay.
We all do.
Right. Not me. Mark
no?
Renee?
You don't
no.
have gas? That's the title of the show.
Anyway, there's an app.
Mark has no gas.
Okay. There's an app called Fart Detective that helps you track down who's farting. If you smell a fart...
Oh, cool.
It helps you track it down.
How does it work?
I don't know. I didn't install it. But
okay.
I think it's just like an ebook that explains how to do it rather than the app doing it.
That's funny.
And you know, there's a bunch of fart apps, like farting zombies and farting piano and stuff. Actually, farting piano we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of applications that make fart noises.
Okay.
There's a new one now called Fart Studio that lets you design your own fart noise. Has all kinds of synthesizers with a bunch of parameters you can adjust.
What? Really?
Yeah, for setting your, making a fart noise.
Nice. All right.
You can do remote control farts where you can trigger a fart remotely with your iPhone. And it has timed farts, all those things. And fart drums, a drum set that you... There's one called Torture Box V1. It's like that. You take a picture of something and flick your iPhone, and it'll show blood hitting that thing and bursting all over it.
Nice. Okay.
Oh, try that with I've Android.
So I think it's $2 tip per person. So it's $14.36 plus two.
So then we also talk about serious iPhone and iPad apps sometimes. But do you have anything senior serious you want to talk about?
Yeah, sure. Let me see here.
I like one called Clinometer. It's really kind of silly. It's just a one of those level apps that draws a picture of a level with showing whether you like.
But that's for the iPad, though, right?
Yeah. But Clinometer, man, it's just really beautiful. I mean, if you could buy an instrument in real life that looked like that, it's just if you're into instruments and stuff, just does a beautiful dial with beautiful little things moving on the dial and stuff. Oh, that one, yeah. I told you about that. Is that you bought that?
I bought that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, talk about what's the name of it?
So, back in the day before samplers, the closest thing you could get to a sampler was a device that was called a Mellotron, which actually was an interesting synthesizer that involved connecting reels of tape, small strips of what are like, you know, like cassette tape size, maybe thicker than cassette tape, to each key on the actual piano keyboard. So when you went to...
Just little loops of tape or something?
Yeah, I think it was loops. I don't even think it was loops. It was actually just just a strand, like a certain length of tape.
How do you play it over
going
and over
from the top of the case to the bottom of the case, and the head would move down, or the reel would be pulled across the head.
Absolutely, it would.
And that was one of the things, is that you had to maintain these cartridges, or these massive cartridges of tape, tape reels.
Okay.
But what you were able to do was you were able to record unique sounds at various different
pitches.
Oh,
you were able to program it yourself?
Well, you were able to make your own tapes. It wasn't something that the end user would do. It wasn't something that was marketed as a way to record your own reels. You could do that if you were involved with the production of these Mellotron devices. You could come up with your own sounds and add your own tapes in there. Mm-hmm. But because you were using cassette or you were using tape, you could have unique sounds, like real instrument sounds in the Mellotron. Yeah. You could have flutes. Okay. You could have voices.
What year was
choirs.
That?
What's that?
That was all done before using...
60. This is in the 60s.
Like 20 or 30 years before that. One of the main commercial brands of organs, is it Hammond? I forgot what it was.
Yeah, Hammond.
One of the first electronic organs. Oh, that's your Mellotron? Yeah. Now, if you get fart piano, you have exactly the same keyboard, but it makes fart noises, too. Right. Fart noises.
Right.
It wouldn't be better, Wes? Right. Okay.
So you can do some pretty cool things with that. Anyway, so this application, like you were saying, Mark, is... Hang on a second. This application is called the M3000 HD. Mellotron 3000.
No, but in the real world, long before the Mellotron, there were machines that used discs, optical discs, where a waveform was drawn optically on the disc, kind of the way movie film works.
Thank you.
It just had a photocell shining through each disc, a light in the photocell combination for every disc. And you had alternate discs, sets of discs, so you could switch stops and make it sound different and stuff.
Okay.
The only thing is you couldn't program it yourself because it was a photographically produced disc.
Okay.
They absolutely were factory things.
Kind of similar with the Mellotron. Yeah. It was a little easier to make your own tapes.
Right. That's interesting.
The other application I want to share is also music related. This is the first realistic and usable multi-track recording application that exists for the iPhone, iTouch, and iPad.
Right.
So this is a universal application that does, in fact, adopt itself to the iPad screen.
Okay.
So here's an example of what it looks like, although you can rotate it this way.
Right.
You can, here's your insertion point.
Uh-huh.
You can choose to add multiple tracks if you want. You can arm a track and then start recording.
Oh, hello.
You can go and create another track and then record as it plays back.
From the mic, you can record from the microphone.
From the microphone of the iPad.
Okay.
It also works with the Mikey device by Blue. It has some limited functionality here, but basically it works. It allows you to get up to like 16 tracks.
You've tried it? And
yeah, I've been able to get up to that. And it plays those tracks back as you record new ones. So,
okay. Cool.
Really worthwhile. There is a fee for it, but if you're into multi-track recording,
but it's really expensive. Cool. Like how much?
No, I think it was like $5.
Okay.
And then, of course, since the World Cup is going on, we talked about this last time, you can play the Vuvuzela.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah, because of the name, because it sounds dirty, kind of. There's all kinds of web stuff about that.
Nobody looked over here. Everybody's being normal.
Yeah. But I'm just saying there's all kinds of web articles about that instrument and how to deal with different things about it.
Yeah.
Like if you're watching a football game in Brazil where they all use them in the audience,
mm-hmm.
there's web articles that talk about how to make it filter to filter out that noise that's always in the background of the game and stuff.
Well, we're out of time.
Okay.
So I get in those applications. Nice.
Sure.
Thanks for being a part of the show, Mark.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. How much storage space are we taking up on your server?
Oh, nothing. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
My server has 80 gigabytes of disk space.
Really?
Yeah.
80 gigs?
Yes.
No. That's it?
So we'll never
all
fill that up.
All the 80 gigs?
You can go 1,000 years of Thriftcast.
80 gigs?
80 gigs.
But my internal hard drive has 250 gigs.
My server's old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Okay.